I'll be telling its extraordinary story through the eyes of those who've lived it.
Alan Johnston presents Hard Lessons from Afghanistan, Wednesday at 11, 16 and 21 CET on the BBC World Service.
There are hundreds of BBC documentaries and investigations ready to download at bbcworldservice.com. Just click Documentaries for our highlights or to explore the archive.
This is the CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Psychic Raziel Ross is on the show today, but first, a song to kick off Halloween on Synchronicity.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange? Come with us and you will see this our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
Don't get scared, the dead of night.
This is Halloween, everybody be a saint.
Trick or treat, all the neighbors gonna die of fright.
It's our town, everybody scream.
This town of
sharp and eyes growing mad.
I am the one hiding under your stairs.
Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
Halloween. This is Marie on Synchronicity. Welcome to the show. That was a little bit of Marilyn Manson from the song This is Halloween from The Nightmare Before Christmas. So happy Halloween. Welcome to the show. Raziel Ross is on today, and she is a local psychic from Vancouver, and she's going to be doing psychic readings today on the phone. So if you want to get on the line and have a psychic reading, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. First, I just want to remind you that coming up on November 13th to the 27th is the Fun Drive, so definitely tune in and participate with that. We're raising funds for the station because this is a nonprofit station and it does take money to run. So hopefully you'll participate in the fun drive. And if you're going to be using fireworks tonight, just make sure that you know the local bylaws of your city, because some cities require licenses, some don't. So make sure you know what you're doing so you don't get a ticket on Halloween for setting off fireworks. So, Raziel, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for inviting me to entertain you this morning.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really hoping that we'll be able to do some readings.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you want to get on the air for a reading, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Now, you are from Britain, I believe. I was looking on your website.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, and you started, your biography on your site said that you started having prophetic dreams when you were quite young. Can you talk a little bit about that and what kind of dreams you had?
I guess the first one that I remember is that I was in elementary school, and my mum told me that to go after school, go home to your grandma's home, because mummy and daddy are going to be out. And they didn't tell me why. I was very protected. I was the youngest in the family. And the night before, I dreamt that my father came to me at school and told me that he was going into hospital. And, okay, being a kid, I just thought that that was the norm, that everybody would get information like that. Mm-hmm. I never discussed it with the family. It wasn't until years and years later when the family were hanging around together, and I think it was, I don't know, somebody in the family said to me, "Oh, do you remember when Dad had that operation?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Yeah, when you were little and in elementary school, that's what was going on." And
wow.
So it confirmed to me that I knew that I'd got the information correctly. But I continued to assume that whatever I was experiencing, so was everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
As far as intuition or seeing things, hearing things. So that was the first time, and it continues.
So what other kinds of dreams did you have when you were young? That one, because you didn't find out until years later about that. Were there any dreams that came up that had more instantaneous confirmation that you were dreaming about things that were going to happen in the future?
Yes. My elder sister was pregnant, and I dreamt that and blurted it out. And she said, "How do you know? I haven't even told Mummy and Daddy. How do you know?" And I said, "Well, it's true, isn't it?" And she said, "Yes, but how do you know?" So that was one occasion. There was some other secret in the family that came to me in a dream as well. And I confronted the member of the family, and it was the same thing. It was, "Nobody knows that. That's a secret that will go with me to my death, and how on earth do you know that?" So, yes, it's been very helpful. There have been times when something in the physical world has been going on, and dream reassures me. Two out of three of my grandchildren came to me before they were born.
Hmm.
And they continue to sort of visit in their astral bodies, which is really sweet.
Aww.
So, yes, so we're very connected.
And did you ever find having these dreams that it was scary for you? As I can imagine, being young, it could be quite scary.
I was really lucky, Marie, because I never got anything that was scary. Subsequently, I guess about 15 years ago, a couple of things happened. One was that I was astral traveling to a fire, and in the morning when I woke up, I heard the news that that building had been arsoned, and I was very upset that I hadn't been got there before. I saw the firemen. I was in the smoke. I was checking. I had a connection with that building. It was being rented by my congregation. So I was very concerned about certain ritual instruments that they had been saved. And indeed, what I saw at that time was confirmed the following morning when I phoned the secretary of the congregation and asked her where the damage was. And she told me exactly what I'd seen. And I didn't know what to do with that information, frankly. I got it, and then a few weeks later, I dreamt about some other disaster, and I have a conversation with spirit guide saying, listen, I don't want that sort of information. Thank you very much. If I'm going to be in service, then forget it. I don't want that sort of information. But it also taught me that, you know, sometimes you hear those sorts of about those incidents prior, and it's up to the person who's getting that information to interpret whether it's appropriate or not to say anything. Is it this? We're just getting that information to confirm that one has the ability to see into the future, actually. I know that's looked down upon by people who read the Old Testament, that it's only God that can see into the future. But my sense is, where am I getting this information from other than from the source? Because as an individual, I haven't a clue. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do I know? So I have to trust that that's where it's coming from.
So right now, thank you, Raziel. Right now we're talking with Raziel Ross, and your website is R-A-Z-I-E-L Ross, R-O-S-S.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are interested in speaking with Raziel after the show, you can check out her website. And if you want to get a reading right now on Halloween, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And Raziel did mention before the show, when we were chatting through email, that if she does get some information that's overly personal, she's not going to mention it on the air, so you don't have to worry about your dirty laundry being aired on the radio. Yeah. Is that right, Raziel?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah. So I'm curious about the dreams.
Yes.
Do you have any control, like, say if there's something that you want to know about, can you say, affirm, okay, I'm going to have a dream about this tonight? Or how does it work? Is it just random?
There is an invocation that can be used prior to going to sleep, asking for answers or help, whatever it is. It's preferable to use that and say it out loud with a really strong intention that, please, you know, help me with this decision or whatever it is, or clarification, and bring it to me in a dream or in any other way that I want to, that I need it, in fact. Because sometimes it doesn't always come on a dream. It will come sporadically within a couple of days. It could be somebody else having a conversation that you overhear, and it's the answer to your question. Or you'll open a newspaper, and there will be a line blaring at you that's exactly what you needed to hear. I know that's not quite what you wanted. There is a way to control your dreams, yes. And there was a woman called Jane Roberts who channeled a character called Seth.
Oh, yes.
And she's written some very fine books about dreams and the nature of reality. And I would recommend, if anybody's interested, then they might want to, you know, pick it up at the library, pick one of those books up at the library and read more about it.
Fantastic. That's an interesting point, because on this show, we do talk a lot about the law of attraction from Esther and Jerry Hicks, who channel Abraham, and they actually got started by reading books about Seth.
Yes.
So it's interesting that you would bring that up. It's time for a break right now, so I'm just going to put you on hold, and we'll be back in just a second. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We'll be right back.
Zipcar gets it. You live your life 4 months at a time. Commitment freaks you out. Your most expensive asset is your laptop, and even that's portable. Why own a car when you can have a Mini for cruising with friends, a roomy Yaris for moving your affordable Swedish furniture into your dorm room, and a Ford Escape for when you take a break from homework to hit the North Shore slopes?
UBC students get a sweet discount on Zipcar membership, $30 for the year. You can reserve by the hour or day, and gas, insurance, and 150 kilometers per day are always included. Your first step is to put down that slice of pizza and sign up at zipcar.com/UBC. After that, just head to one of the locations on campus to pick up your car, and the rest is up to you.
Welcome back. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Raziel, who is a local Vancouver psychic. We're talking about dreams and predicting the future at this point. If there's a question that you need some insight on, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And if you have any ideas for the show, or you would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com, or you can add me as a friend on Facebook. So, Rezia, we were just talking about Seth and the nature of reality. And on your website, it mentions that you teach meditation and you are involved with Kabbalah.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit more about that and your training and your background around that?
Kabbalah means the receiving of wisdom. And it is a very ancient system that the Jewish mystics developed to explain creation. And out of that, it was handed down, but it was handed down exclusively, and I'm talking about during the biblical times, and because the rabbis who taught that only to their students, and the students were male, wanted to protect that information. There are three parts of Kabbalah, and meditation is an aspect of Kabbalah. And meditation in the Jewish frame uses the Hebrew letters, which have numerical value, and it uses prayers, it uses chants, there is a Hebrew yoga that you move your body into the shape of the letters. There is astrology. It's said, nobody's quite certain about the origins of tarot, but it's possibly that it came out of Kabbalah too, but not in the way that we use it now. It's associated with the letters and the tree of life. And some people do use tarot and interpret them from the perspective of the sphirot, the energy points on the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the lines that connect them, the paths. So it's a system. Jewish meditation is a system that is really helpful. It's also divided into three. One is to focus, to focus either open-eyed or with your eyes closed on a subject, a line of a prayer or the second type is to you the theory part, the scriptures. Now, I said to you that it was originally taught by rabbis to their own students. Mm-hmm. So it was very exclusive. So the fact that I'm a certified Jewish meditation teacher in the 21st century is most unusual. But there was a renaissance of Jewish meditation, I guess, 3 decades ago, and specifically in the last 15 years or so. It's caught on. What happened was, during World War II, there were a lot of rabbis from Eastern Europe who did not survive. Mm-hmm. And after the war, there were people, Jewish people, who had a lot of questions, and there was very few people to turn to for those answers, and a lot of people went towards other religions where there were masters available who could help them with their questions. So that it's gone from one extreme to the other, and subsequently a lot of these people who went towards other religions have sort of now realized that it was in Judaism all the time, and that's what the Renaissance has been about. There have been translations of the old books. Mm-hmm. One of them is called the Book of Creation, Sefer Yetzirah, and it was translated by a rabbi called Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. Now, at the time, not everybody agreed with him because he was bringing it sort of out of the closet, and a lot of people were concerned that it would get misused. And so, but at the same time, it became apparent to a lot of people who were searchers that their under their nose was meditation in their own religion. I think the shift became more public when the Gutenberg Press was created. Mm-hmm. And so some of the books were printed and became available to more people. And so Kabbalah has gone through various lives. You know, there's been a false messiah that people followed, and then they didn't want to know anything about Kabbalah or spiritualism. And so it's had its ups and downs. But it's been publicized most recently because some people in Hollywood have taken this up. Like
Madonna, who was just here last night.
And I want to say that that's very fine. It's fine for anybody to turn towards a spiritual life, regardless. But that type of Kabbalah is an interpretation. And so, really and truly, one has to, if you're going to be involved with Kabbalah, it's really important for you to know a lot about the background and not... You know, you can jump in with some ideas, but to call that really Kabbalah, I would question it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if it's making people much more aware and living better lives, then so be it. But yes, so I mentioned that there are 3 types. The Kabbalah is divided into 3. The third aspect of that is the practical Kabbalah, which teaches a lot of what we would call magic.
Ooh, that's perfect for Halloween.
Yes, it is. But personally, I don't know enough about it, and I wouldn't get involved with it, and I wouldn't recommend people to use it without years of background. In fact, I don't know anybody amongst the Kabbalistic rabbis that actually use it. There is a rabbi called Rabbi Gershon Winkler that has written about the symbols, and certainly there's dream there's a specific type of dream interpretation as well, using Kabbalah.
So what kind of magic, if one was able to do that, is it like levitation or changing, you know, lead into gold, or what kind of magic happens?
Well, there is a story about King Solomon creating an image like Frankenstein. In fact, it was called a golem. And it's the legend is that he used mystical ways to create this golem.
Wow.
So it is written up, but... I think the story is something like he lost a ring and he had to go on a journey. Now, journey is a very ambivalent word. You know, it can be a spiritual journey. So he used some... I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that story, but anybody who's interested can Google King Solomon and the Golem. Mm-hmm. I think it's spelled G-O-L-E-M. So obviously that's what he was using at the time. So yes, I suspect that you could use it in alchemy. Again, I know absolutely nothing about it.
Okay.
Certainly in the book that's been translated by Ariel Kaplan called the Sefer Yetzirah, which is the book of creation, there are some very complicated symbols and use of those symbols. But absolutely, I don't recommend anybody to mess about with that. It's the same thing. Don't recommend anybody to mess about with a Ouija board for the same reason, because if you do that, then you're with that intention about having a bit of fun. Then my sense is that spirit, you're attracting spirit that will have a bit of fun with you, and you don't want that to happen.
Okay, well, Raziel, we have someone on the line. So let's see if they're looking for a reading or they want to know about alchemy. Hi,
okay.
CITR, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hi there. I was just listening to the show and I was wondering if I could get a reading.
Okay. The idea is that that you can ask a question. Please give me your name.
Is Mike?
Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
So you'd like a question?
Yes, I would. My sense about you, Mike, is that you're actually going through a bit of a hard time at the moment. It looks to me that it's, if you don't mind me saying so, it's been difficult for you to understand what's going on. And my sense is that it's also having an impact on your finances.
Well, a little bit. I was going to ask about... my job is winding down, and I was wondering what you saw for a career, like a career change.
Yes. I think, actually, that the fact that your job is winding down is a bit of a gift. I know that sounds like an oxymoron.
Sure.
But my sense is it's going to give you a hiatus of time to figure out where you want to really go. You know, you've been working, and that's been terrific, but now what? It's a bit of a obviously, moving from a job is a transition, but that's my sense, that it's, if you can use it to think and strategize about where you want to go. You've got some experience now in the job world, and you want to use that experience. How was it, you know... You need to be asking yourself, like, how was it for me?
Right.
Did it really reach my expectations? Was I really comfortable in working in that? Was it really, was I really using my potential, or was I just coasting?
Right.
I think there's a really important question for you now to be using, and I think when you'll come to some, you'll think outside the box.
Yeah.
And because of that, you will be widening your horizons when you search for your next position. And I think my sense is that you're going to feel a great sense of empowerment, that you're choosing the direction that you want to go. I mean, obviously, you had education with a sense of where you wanted to take that out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with your education and your experience, you've got more under your belt. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So be cautious about rushing into another job, excuse me, because I think that you need to pace yourself, take a break, if you can afford it,
right,
and really use that time as your job to strategize now.
Right.
Where do I really want to be in 25 years' time? Do I want to be doing this? Where's this going to lead it? And when you come to some answers, take a look and see who or what and where you could best put your energy.
Sure.
And who would make the best opportunity for you to be in their company.
Okay.
Do you understand?
I do.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. That's great. Thanks very much.
All right. Good luck, Mike, because
thank you.
There is work ahead of you.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Mike, for calling in. That
mm-hmm.
was... Pardon?
Yes, I was saying that too. Thank you.
And that was Raziel Ross doing a reading, answering a question, because it is... We are on the phone. If you were to get a reading with Raziel privately, I'm sure it would get much more in-depth, but we're on the radio, so it's just small questions that if you want to ask, you can call the number 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Is there something that you need insight about? In a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about ghosts and spirits because I'm curious about that and because it's Halloween, so I've got to ask those questions. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in about 30 seconds on Synchronicity.
How long do you think it'll be before I can do the show?
You're starting tonight.
We'll do it live! If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
But a lot of these groups are nothing but pure carnality and fleshly and so forth. But
check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the University of British Columbia campus. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Raziel Ross. That's at RazielRoss.com, RazielRoss.com. And she's a local psychic from Vancouver, and she's answering your questions. So if you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. We just had Mike on the line asking a question about his career, which with the financial situation that's going on globally right now, I think a lot of people probably have the same kind of question. So if you want to get on the air, again, the number is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. So Raziel, welcome back.
Hi.
So I'm wondering about ghosts and spirits. You talk about spirit guides. It sounds like that's where you get some of your information from. I'm wondering, in your work as a psychic, have you ever encountered a haunting or a spirit that was stuck somewhere that people didn't want him to be at?
I can tell you a story.
Okay.
A few years ago, I was living in upstate New York, quite close to Woodstock, actually. And the day that I arrived at the lodge, I was given a room, and the housekeeper came a few minutes after I arrived because she'd forgotten some sheets. And she said to me, you know, the strangest thing, when I first came to clean this room, there was a dead bird over the door.
Hmm.
And she said, did you see it? So I said, no, not at all. And she said, well, it's gone. So nobody knew how that dead bird got over, was put over the door. Nobody knew how it was removed. And that night, I woke up, and there was this green, swirling energy in my room. And I just got a sense that I didn't want it there, and so I said very strongly, unless you can come in God's healing love light, go away. I wasn't as polite as that. And it disappeared. I moved rooms.
Yeah.
I stayed at that lodge because I was actually a resident intern and got a chance to work at registration tables. So often when people would come in and register and they got that room, the following morning I would say to them, so were you comfortable? Did you sleep well? And they'd say, as a matter of fact, no. I don't know what was going on there, but there were, it just felt really funny. And is it possible to move rooms? So there was definitely something going on in that area. And after I lived there for a while, I realized that it was a great... there was a there's a vortex of energy around Woodstock that included the area where I was living, and there'd been a lot of UFO sightings. And in fact, an author by the name of Whitley Schreiber had written a book or two called Communion, and he had lived in the local village, and so he felt that he'd been succumbed to Alien Brothers visitation.
Ooh, I'm getting chills right now up my spine. Ooh, so Halloween-y.
So, there was a lot going on, and I believe in the 50s that there were sightings of UFOs that actually went into the reservoir just outside Woodstock, and that water, I think, feeds New York City. Mm. So it was a... You can imagine Woodstock. It was a very vibrant area of alternatives, but there was a whole group of people who would meet on a weekly basis to discuss their UFO sightings. And at some point, I was still living at the lodge, and it was... I went to visit in San Diego, and I guess it was 1996, something like that, the winter of the Halley Comet.
Mm.
And there was a group of people living in a mansion just out San Diego who were told by their leader to put on white Nike runners and to have a group suicide because they were going to be saved by... spaceships that were going to be coming, following the Halley Comet in that wake, that tail, and that if they committed suicide, they would be uplifted to those ships and whooshed away. Well, obviously, it didn't happen, and there was another group, I think perhaps in Switzerland, who similarly took their lives hoping that believing that they were going to be taken off by spaceships.
Wow.
When I was living in upstate New York near to Woodstock, one morning I had a visitation by a group of alien brothers who were terribly upset. By that time I'd left San Diego and gone back to upstate New York. They were terribly upset because they said that they had absolutely no permission to persuade human beings to commit suicide, and they wanted somebody to know. And of course I said, well, how on earth do I know that you're for real? And why me? Why are you telling me? You know, what's it got to do with me, sort of thing? And, you know, why me? So they said that my interest in UFOs created a conduit to them, that they were able to connect with me. So they made it clear that they are very friendly. They are here to help, and in no way are they encouraging people to commit suicide. And that was another group that was a misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say that on their behalf, because there have been a lot of movies about aliens, you know, and scary, and, you know, it makes good Hollywood movies. But the truth is that there are also those who have come to be with us, to help us and support us as our planet goes through changes, and that we have been observed, and it's not Big Brother. It's just that they're there, and that they are able, they're in a different dimension from our physical gross dimension. And so if we're able to move ourselves through whatever meditation or other means to see through that other dimensions, then if you're interested, and perhaps you too could make that connection. But I also must say, with all of what we've been talking about, controlling your dreams, learning more about friendly alien brothers, unless you are very mentally stable, please don't mess about with that sort of thing. You have to, everybody has to look after themselves and their own health. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be very careful about, tread carefully is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
If you're interested, and start off by reading about it. And there's a lot of research on the internet that you can read up about. You know, crop circles are all part of it too. So we started off with a spooky story about the dead bird and the energy. But I also want to say that, you know, some people do have experiences, and more and more people are thinking perhaps they're a little crazy, but you're not crazy. It's just that your intuition is opening up, and maybe you're seeing things or hearing things or glimpsing things. You're not going nuts. It's your intuition. And if you want to control that more, then there are ways of developing your psychic abilities under control with a teacher or using meditation. But
fantastic.
Again, if you're a starter, then I would recommend, if you want to start to learn about meditation, do it with a teacher or do it in a group.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Raziel, so we can talk a little bit about your groups. We have a break coming up, and then I have a question about something kind of creepy that happened to me years ago when I was really little. So your story brought it up for me. So we'll be right back on Synchronicity, okay?
Download this. Every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th, the Vancouver Theatre Sports League present Improv. The internet goes offline and on stage for 90 minutes of hilarity when improv comedians from Vancouver Theatre Sports League take on Facebook, wikis, blogs and iTunes. Improv is on at the New Review stage on Granville Island every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th. Doors are 7:30 on Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Looking for great student rates? Don't miss 2-for-1 Wednesdays, or get a group of 10 or more together and save as much as 35% over Ticketmaster rates. For more information, visit www.vtsl.com.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the University of British Columbia campus. Coming up in about 15 minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive, so stick around for that. Right now we're talking with Raziel Ross. She is a local Vancouver psychic. And if you're interested in talking with her more after the show, I'm going to post her email or her website address on the podcast section. So if you want to visit CITR.ca, you can check out podcasts and there's a little description of the show. Her email website address, rather, is RazielRoss.com, RazielRoss.com. Raziel, now I wanted to... Pardon?
It's okay. Yeah, I'm saying,
You were talking about the vortex of energy in the room when you were talking about the ghost story, and it reminded me of something that happened to me.
Yes.
When I was about, gosh, I guess I was about 7 years old, and I went to see my friend. And she wasn't home. There wasn't anyone home. And for some reason, I looked in the window. And there wasn't a lot of light in the place. But they had this little dog. He was like a Shih Tzu or something like that. And I noticed that his eyes were like swirling. Kind of like those game things that you spin with the colors. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking, and I'd never experienced really that I can remember anything like that before. And it was very uncomfortable because I wasn't sure if it was really happening or if it was my imagination or what. But I would look away and then I would look back, and it was still happening. And I was probably standing at the window for 5 or 10 minutes looking at this. And the dog, like I was trying to get the dog's attention, and he was just kind of staring at me with these swirling eyes. And so I'm wondering if there's anything you're picking up on. Was that just a 7-year-old imagination, or where did that come from?
I don't think it was your imagination. I think that you actually saw it. My experience is that dogs in particular seem to be very psychic. My dog sends me telepathic pictures. I've seen my dog just sitting there staring at something that I can't see. So I never experienced what you have just described as far as an animal is concerned, but there's no question that dogs in particular pick up the energy. If their owner is depressed, I've seen dogs just lying around being depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very sensitive to energy. What did you think was going on? Or were you just absolutely scared?
Well, I was a little bit scared, but I mean, I obviously stood there for a few minutes, so I couldn't have been that scared. I knew the dog, and I don't have a whole lot of memories about him other than that. I know that it was a single parent household, and I don't think that things were that great in the home.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't describe it as a positive experience. It was creepy. It was really, really creepy, and I was sure that I was seeing something, but I couldn't explain why I would be seeing it, so it just didn't make sense to me.
Well, first of all, when we have an experience, I think that rather than analyze it, it was just an experience to show you that you do have that ability. Mm-hmm. And of course, children are much more open to that sort of thing because they don't have the filter that later on we develop as adults that tell us that that's abnormal or it's scary. So a kid would just see it and say, oh, okay, fine. It was unusual. It sounds to me like the dog was picking up some energy in the household and it was resolving it. And you happened to show up while it was going on. That's my sense, that the dog was absorbing some energy that the family didn't need to have in that household. And you said yourself that you felt as a kid that the energy in that house, my sense is that it was very scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever mention it to anybody who lived in the house?
I don't remember. I may have mentioned it to my friend.
Yes.
But she was just like 4 years old or something.
Oh,
I mean, she was younger than me.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't really remember. I don't think there was much conversation about it. I may have mentioned it to like, oh, I was at your house the other day and I saw something weird with your dog, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's my sense, that the energy was all over the place inside that household, and that somehow the dog was absorbing it to keep it grounded.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Grounded. Yeah, so he was sort of
absorbing,
kind of cleansing that energy, sort of. Okay.
Yeah. And I, sort of a bit of an alchemist. He was shifting the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing.
No, it's just thinking back on it. I mean, it happened so many years ago. I'm 30
mm-hmm.
now, so it was quite a few years ago, and the recollection is not too clear. But I remember, like, just talking about it right now brings up that kind of uneasy feeling.
Okay. Well, just breathe that out. I mean, it was then. You didn't understand what was going on because that was a seven-year-old kid. And you can now reassure that kid that she's safe. I mean, if that's giving you an uneasy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you about something.
Okay.
Do we have time for another story?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Like everybody else, periodically, I would complain about something around my mother that she didn't do or she should have done or something. My mother is around me a great deal. And so talking about dreams, that night she came to me in a dream and she took me back to London when I was five and just left me in the street and said, okay, if you don't like the memories of your childhood, you can change it right now. Here you are, 4 or 5 years old, change it. And it was bewildering because I had heard and read that somehow or other you can change your past. But I didn't understand it. But then she was telling me that it is possible. I certainly become better friends with her, but it was very shocking to be transported back to London in 1945 to be told, okay, you didn't like how I behave, change it.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of us walk around saying, my mother and or my father. So apparently, we somehow or other, we do have the ability to say, okay, that was then, and this is now, and I'm still investigating that, but that just shows how close our loved ones are to us. You know, they do drop in, they do overhear conversations. No, they're not sort of bearing down on us because they don't have that permission to do it, but just to reassure people that, you know, if your loved one has left their body, then that's all it is. They've left their body, but the soul and the spirit, or whatever you want to call it, continues. And as I say, I had a bit of a rough relationship with my mother. It's much, much better now. And she passed over 30 years ago now, this year. And so, you know, I just wanted to mention that because so many people feel damaged by their past. Mm-hmm. And there is an opportunity for forgiveness.
So is there any way specifically to do that? Like any formula on how you would go back and do that? Or do you just visualize it?
I would recommend meditating and quietening yourself and and if one has a photograph of the person that they want to heal that relationship with, then you know, perhaps put that on a table next to the chair and talk to that person as if they were there. I've done that by taking two cushions and sitting on one cushion and talking to the empty cushion. This is very gestalt. Saying how I felt in that relationship and then moving myself to the other cushion and speaking on behalf of the other person to me. And when I did that, I had a sense of the other person's energy actually entering my body. And we had a very long conversation. And so I was able to express how I felt when they left or about our relationship. And it was very healing at the time. I did have a witness to that, a friend who just sat there silently listening to the conversation. And if somebody wanted to do that, I would recommend a witness because it can be very emotional.
Mm-hmm. So someone
but
for emotional support.
But it also is very cathartic. And another way of healing a relationship with somebody who's passed over is to think about what they weren't able to complete in their lifetime and perhaps take that on and complete it for them. That will give them a chance from the other side to complete something that they wanted, because they'll be doing it with you.
Fantastic, Raziel. Well, we have just a couple minutes left in the show, so I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to add in closing.
Yes, I believe that we all came in with a strong intuition. I think over the years, growing up, we have put that aside and we don't listen to it because we've given our power over to other people. Let's face it, if a kid says to their parent, oh, I've got this a friend and that child keeps on talking about the friend and making a place at the dining room table and, you know, don't sit there because my friend's sitting there. After a while, the parent's going to get a bit cheesed off and say, listen, you know, I'm a bit fed up with this. If you continue with this, I think you ought to go to your room or I don't want to hear any more of that nonsense. Well, the kid who's actually seeing a spirit child loses confidence in themselves and thinks, well, my parents don't believe me, so perhaps it's not happening. And after a while, you lose that ability, but it's there all the time. I mean, some people are lucky enough to have had experiences and live with people who encourage them. But if you have had negative experiences as a child, you're going to put away that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great time to rely more on oneself and to listen to oneself. And that includes listening to one's body and helping to heal yourself through your stronger connection with yourself. I mean, I was told years and years ago, go and meditate, and it made absolutely no sense to me, and I was very resistant to it because it had nothing to do with me. I associated it with another religion, and I didn't want to get involved. But the truth is that just the breath is really what the basis to all meditation.
Fantastic.
And that brings us back into our body, and I think that's really important.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Raziel. That's all the time that we have on the show today. So I'm just going to turn your volume down here. So you've been listening to Raziel Ross, R-A-Z-I-E-L Ross, R-O-S-S.com. If you would like more information, Raziel does group meditation workshops and also offers psychic counseling, psychic readings, whatever you want to call it. You can email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. And next week, Isha, speaker and author of Why Walk When You Can Fly, will be talking about her book. She's coming to Vancouver in November. And if you have a show idea or want to be a guest, contact me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm Marie, and I'm here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. in Vancouver. The show also starts at noon on the East Coast on cosmicdimensions.com. You can check out past shows on podcast at citr.ca. Thanks so much for listening, and thank you, Raziel. Up next, Scotty's Scenic Drive on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.